Good evening, and welcome to Arts and Ideas. I'm Margot Stage. Tonight, the second in four programs about 10 days in the life of the village of Jitvapur in the North Indian state of Bihar with producer Julian Crandall-Hollick. About 4,000 people live in Jitvapur. A majority of them are upper castes. The rest are untouchables and the lower castes. For generations, the upper castes have practiced a form of apartheid against the untouchables. Many say this is one of the reasons for the backwardness of this region. Today we meet two of the untouchables, Binda Devi and her son, Rodi Paswan. We talk with an upper caste farmer and an untouchable sharecropper as they plow their fields. And we'll visit the nearby village of Ryam, where a group of thieves are trying to go straight by learning to weave carpets. And now, Gao, life in an Indian village.
Monday morning, 7 a.m. at the Kali temple in the mango grove.
Most of the Brahmins and Kshatriyas in the village worship the goddess Kali. Her temple's in a mango grove within shouting distance of the road. But to reach it, you have to wade across a stream full of water snakes. The temple's unimpressive. A little red brick box open on two sides. The plaster's peeling off the brick. Buildings in India always seem to age prematurely in the constant humidity. Inside the temple, the inner sanctum's protected by iron grills that the pandits removed. Outside are little images of gods at the base of gnarled tree stumps. The pandit sings inside the sanctum, occasionally and vigorously ringing a handbell. Kali is not the only god he worships. Outside, on a stone slab still wet with the morning dew, he lays marigold flowers and murmurs prayers to a 3-inch painted clay image of Vishnu. His sons, 10 and 12 respectively, are in attendance, banging on gongs. They're training to follow in his footsteps. The tractor from the brick factory is already taking a first trailer load of bricks into Madhubani.
Thank you.
Over at Janik Mandal's tea stall, the farmers are drinking chai, the Indian milk tea, taking a last few minutes to chat and gossip before heading off to the fields. I wonder how many millions of bicycles there really are in India. Indian bikes are usually simple and sturdy, no aluminum alloys, no gears, often no brakes, just two wheels, a frame, and tires that go on and on, repatched until the rubber literally falls off, completely worn out. Hero Bicycles in the city of Ludhiana in Punjab is the world's largest bicycle manufacturer. They make 6 million a year. Hero is one of the great rags-to-riches stories of Indian business. Two brothers fled from Pakistan in 1947 with nothing. They'd been farmers, but decided there was much more money to be made in the town, so they started making bicycles. Indians seem to bicycle very slowly in the countryside. It's almost as if they'd stopped moving. Yet somehow they always keep their balance and ride imperceptibly on, to market, to the fields, and home. In most Indian villages, there are a number of castes living more or less side by side. In Jitvapur, there are 13 castes. The Brahmins and the Kshatriyas own most of the land and run the village. But since independence, the government's gone out of its way to pursue policies of affirmative action in favour of the Harijans and other backward castes. Untouchables got their name because they used to do all the jobs that were considered filthy and polluting, cleaning out toilets, washing clothes, curing animal skins for leather. Harijans were treated a good deal worse than animals. In much of the country, the practice of apartheid against untouchables has virtually disappeared, but not in Bihar. The upper castes have been fighting with the untouchables over control of the land. The rich upper caste farmers have hired private armies to protect their property. In recent years, there have been several notorious massacres of untouchables by these private armies. Binda Davies lived in Jitvapur for maybe 50 years. She's not sure. She doesn't know when she was born. All she remembers is coming to live with her husband Jivas Paswan when she was 13 years old. Her husband taps palm trees for toddy or palm beer. When he isn't doing that, he works the fields for some of the Brahmin landowners. Brahmins usually don't farm the land themselves. The Harijan quarter in Jitvapur lies behind the post office and is flanked on two sides by ponds. The houses here are made of brick, not mud. In the early 1970s, the late Prime Minister Indira Gandhi launched an anti-poverty campaign. One of the main planks was the building of free housing for Harijans. So when you see brick houses in the Indian countryside, it's not a sign of wealth or high status. Just the opposite. It's low-income government housing. Binda Davis sits on the brick entranceway to her house, her eldest daughter and son with her. Her face is covered by the edge of a cotton sari. Never once does it slip. I never see her eyes.
What do you do, Binda Devi, all day?
I collect
grasses, fuel, leaves from the nearby areas to cook the food. I work in the house, and I also do tattoo painting.
You collect fuel in the morning?
Jayatrati 8 baje mein
Whenever I find the time, sometimes it's 10 o'clock or sometimes I go out at 8 or 9, whenever I find the time.
And this is fuel just for your house or for other houses?
For my own house.
Now, how many hours a day do you have to spend to collect fuel?
It takes me about 3 hours or 4 hours, depending, collecting twigs and breaking the leaves off.
Do you collect them all within this village or do you have to go outside?
In the village itself.
Do you have any trouble with the other castes in the village?
No, we have no such problems.
But do you go and eat with them?
No.
So you may have no problems, but is that just because you have no contact with them?
No, I don't need to talk to them.
How many children you got, Binda Devi?
4 boys and 1 girl.
You consider boys to be equal to girls?
They're equal.
Do both your girls and your boys go to school?
Yes. The girl also studies.
And she goes to school?
Yes. She goes to school, except when she got married, then she stopped going to school.
Oh, what? She's already married?
Yes, she got married when she was a small girl.
Why did you marry her so young?
In Harijans, it's a tradition that the girl gets married when she is very, very young.
Why?
It is more economical to get them married off when they are young. It's very difficult to bring them up when they get older. More expense.
Why have children at all then?
Children get born. What can I say about that?
Binda, what happens if your kids get ill? Can you get a doctor from the village, or is there somebody locally in the Harijan community who will look after your children and try and make them better?
When children get sick, I have to take them to Madhubani to show them to a doctor. There is no doctor in this village.
Does that cost a lot of money?
Yes, it is very expensive. Depends on the sickness. Sometimes it may just be 5 rupees, but sometimes it can be as much as 35 or 40 rupees.
And what happens if you don't have any money?
Well, for Harijans, it is a problem. If you have the money, then you take them to the doctor and you can save the person. If you don't have the money, then you stay at home and the child might die.
Have any of your children died?
No.
No, so you're lucky. Do you always have enough to eat, Binda Devi, for your family?
Poor people can never have enough. When we have it, we eat. When we don't, we fast.
How often do you not have enough food?
It really depends. When there is work, then we can eat both the times. But when there isn't work, there may be a time where we may eat only once, or for a few days, if there hasn't been any work, no money coming in, then we fast for a couple of days, and then go out and find work, and then eat again.
Well, you say you fast as though it was something religious. The fact is you just don't have any food to eat or anything to drink, right?
Yes, when there isn't any food, when there is any grain, then we don't eat. There is no religious base for it.
How do you endure living without food?
नहीं खाना है तो सूत रहै छी.
When there isn't anything to eat, we keep sleeping.
Now, you said that daughters are more expensive than boys. Why, Binda Devi?
लड़की में ज्यादा खर्चा होल ब्याह दान दिन दुरागमन केलों तो में खर्चा बहुत पड़ता है.
Yes, girls are more expensive because the dowry, giving, the wedding. For a girl, there are a lot more expenses.
Binda Devi, how much dowry did you give with your daughter when she got married?
700 dali.
जाते वक्त में विदाई के टाइम में दिया जाता है जिसका जो जुरा.
700 रुपीस.
गांववा घरवा में 5 मन चावल.
तो बरात आया उसके बाद में ग्रामीण रहा अपना जात इनको खाने के लिए देता है तो इस सब में भी खर्चा हुआ.
एंड वॉच एंड अ साइकिल एंड सूट बूट एंड व्हेन द बरात द ग्रूम्स पीपल केम फॉर द वेडिंग then the whole village fed them while they stayed here.
Well, since dowry costs so much, Binda Devi, why don't you all simply decide not to pay dowry?
Dahej hum log nahi dete hain aur lete hain.
Binda Devi is clammed up, so her son Rodi takes over. But Rodi's really not telling the whole truth. Untouchables give dowry like almost everyone else. But since dowry is illegal, Rodi doesn't want to commit himself in front of us.
We don't really give a dowry as such. Dowries are never asked from us, and we don't give dowries. We give this money because we like to give it. Nobody asks us a particular figure or sum to give. Whatever we can collect, 500 or 700, because we feel like giving it when they are going, we give it. But there is no such custom of dowry in our Harijan Basti.
Binda Devi is getting visibly annoyed by these questions.
In our Harijan
caste, we don't do such things. We collect slowly over the years to get the girl married off.
But why don't you collect slowly over the years to give her as good an education as your sons get?
I don't have the authority to do so much.
When times are good, Binda Devi, how much money does the family make in a month?
10 rupees, 30 rupees, 40 rupees.
About 10 rupees a day, or sometimes even 30 rupees or 40 rupees a day.
And when times are bad?
Not even a cent.
Her son, Rodi Paswan, is one of the most visible men in the village. You want something arranged, something fixed? Find Rodi and it'll get done. He's the secretary of the Harijan Association and a highly political man, ready to fight for the rights of the untouchables at the drop of a hat.
Has life changed for the Harijans since independence?
पहले जो था, जो अभी भी मेरा पिताजी हैं, ये सुधा टाइप को हैं। आप कहिएगा जो इसी में कहेगा हाँ।
There is a lot of difference now. For example, my father, who still is a very, very simple man, whatever anybody said to him, demanded of him, he did it. But today the difference is that if somebody explains to me something and try to argue with me or tell me something, and if I am not convinced, I will turn around and tell them, okay, you're telling wrong or you're telling a lie or you're not telling me a proper thing. So I am in a position to assert, which my father wasn't.
Do you mean to say that if a Brahmin told your father to... No, get on the other side of the road or get off the road because he, a Brahmin, wanted to walk down it. Your father would have done it, but if somebody tried to do that to you, you'd just go right up to them and tell them where to get off?
हाँ किए थे
और आपको यदि बोलेगा तो आप क्या करेंगे ऐसा ही
क्या नहीं करेंगे.
Yes, it's true that in my father's generation these things happen, that if a Brahmin is passing the road, you were supposed to not be on the way. But today I wouldn't do the such same thing.
Do the Brahmins still expect you though to get off the road?
Abhi bhi dukaan mein ya Madhubani sahar jo hai.
Yes, they do expect. They do expect that the Harijans shouldn't come in their way. They do expect the Harijan not to eat in their house. But say if I'm in the town and the eating shop and if the Brahmin is eating there, I can certainly go there and eat. And if he tried to tell me not to eat there, then there'll be a problem for him.
Well, what other forms of discrimination do you still suffer from?
जितना हर जन है छुआ गया ये हो गया दुकानदार को डांटेंगे ये करेंगे तो हम लोग दुकान में नहीं जाते हैं.
Yes, suppose on the tea stall in the village, if I go there and there already a couple of Brahmins already sitting there, then they will create problem. They will tell the tea stall fellow that while they are there, how the hell are you serving him or something. So there is a problem still. They can create a problem.
Okay, well, what happens if two Brahmins at the tea stall tell the tea seller not to serve you? Can you go and get the police?
तब छुआछूती लोग क्यों मानते हैं? ये लोग कह रहे हैं परंपरा से ही आ रहा है, इसीलिए तुम लोगों से हम अलग करके रहते हैं.
Most of the time, when this kind of tensions arise, then we are told by them, okay, this is a question of old traditions, that traditionally there has been a question of untouchability, that the Brahmins are not touched by the Harijans, they don't come near them. And this has been accepted by all the generation. How come you people are now raising all these, any kind of opposition to it? So when this kind of tension take play, then we fight back.
Well, what form does your fighting back take, Rudy?
तो जैसा जितना population हुआ ऐसा थम लग गया. तो आप जाइए ये जाइए आप नहीं ऐसा होगा हम लोग को भी कह दिया तुमको भी नहीं आना है इसमें तो हम लोग फिर वंचित हो गए.
Well, if we are quite a number around, we can fight back. Actual.
You mean physically fight and
yes.
Touch them? They wouldn't like that.
And but if sometime we are not in the position to fight back, we just withdraw.
Now, what other forms of discrimination are still exercised against you in this village, Rudy? Against you personally?
हम लोग अभी भी एक पंडित जी हैं, जो हम इनके जो बैठे रहेंगे दरवाजे पर तो इनके सामने में हम नहीं बैठ सकते.
Well, there are a few people around still who he giving an example. I'm giving the example of an old man who is an old Brahmin. He's a priest, and he still yells when I go nearby, when he's sitting somewhere, that I shouldn't be coming nearby. And I already know about it, so sometimes you just ignore it and leave the place and sort of not create any tension. But you know that this is the problem.
Are you allowed in the temple?
My is Kali Mandir mein to humko nahi jaane dega.
Abhi bhi nahi.
Nahi.
I cannot go to the Kali temple still. No Harijan can go still.
Why not?
Is Kali Mandir mein chale jayenge.
Madhubani mein ja sakte
hain? Haan, ekdam ja sakte hain.
Well, here they never let us go and we cannot go even now, but we can go to the Kali temple in the Madhubani town.
Well, can't you get the authorities to make the Brahmins let you go in the Kali temple here?
तो ये तो लिख दिए हैं सरकार जी छुआछूत करने से 3 महीने की सजा इतने रुपया लेकिन मानते हैं कहाँ को ये लोग.
True, there is even a law that anybody who actually raises this question of untouchability can go to jail, even though there is a law, but who bothers about the law? When they can, they are in a position to stop it, they stop it.
What about the village panchayat? Doesn't that have Harijan representatives?
तो पंचायत के यदि हम शिकायत करेंगे तो ये भी तो वही है.
Yes, the panchayat is dominated by them and not by us. So if they have the majority people in the panchayat, then obviously it's fruitless to go and complain there.
But aren't some of the Brahmins, should we say, open to giving you equality? For example, I noticed that you came into Devas's compound and he didn't shoo you away.
Angna hua.
Theek hai.
To hum is jagah aa sakte hain. लेकिन इस पर नहीं हम जा सकते.
तो दिवस के घर में आप अंदर नहीं जाएंगे?
नहीं.
The question of untouchability is still more or less is a belief among everybody. For example, it's true that I went to Divas's house, but I can only go up to his courtyard. Even I cannot go into the sanctum of his inside of his house. I will have to stay away.
He's never invited you in.
गंगा स्नान करके आओ, भगवान का पूजा करो, पान प्रसाद दो, तब तुम आया, नहीं तो
he hasn't invited me, but there's a reason behind it. So I can go into his house if I want to. But if I do that, then all his community will make him to go to the Ganges, have a bath, and do all kinds of other rituals of purification. So it'll be quite a problem for him, even once if I enter in his house.
The village of Rayam is 30 miles away from Jitvapur, but to get there takes 2 hours by jeep. The road's disintegrated. In some places, it simply doesn't exist anymore. But the countryside's wonderfully green. Seeing this, you think, can Bihar really be so backward? Then someone tells you the green is rice paddy and it should be brown, not green. Why, you ask in puzzled innocence. Because when it's ripe, it turns golden at the tip. Here, if you look closely, it's brown at the stem and green at the tip, exactly the wrong way round. It means the entire crop's lost. It's rotted because of the floods. They're planting a new crop of paddy. It had better be a good one. Otherwise, many will starve. The old and the very young might not make it. They'll spend a lot of time sleeping so they won't burn up calories they don't have. And eating chilies to preserve the illusion of a full stomach. It'll be a hard winter. In the center of Rayam, there's a large man-made pond called a tank in India. Across the pond's a long cement building. It looks much like a cowshed. Inside are 20 wooden looms being worked by a singular group of men. Their caste name is Paswan, and for generations they've been professional criminals. It was their caste occupation. The district development officer, Mr. Vyas, is trying to reform them and train them to become carpet weavers.
How long have you been doing this for?
6 months.
6 months.
And what did you do before?
Agriculture.
What sort of money did you make from doing that?
Upendra Paswan says they've been very poor. He claims they used to cut fodder as day laborers for farmers in the village. Now they're getting paid 5 rupees a day as trainee weavers and doing very well. Once the training's over, they'll own the looms and start to make some real money. Upendra Paswan won't admit his past profession, but another Paswan, Shivananda, probably knows that somebody's already told us.
If you weren't earning any money before, which is what you say, how on earth did you live?
Lekin karib ek saal se pehle se jo Vyas ji humko yahan hai Vyas Ayukt Madhwani wo hum log ko bahut madad kiya.
Their profession that's been handed down from father to son was petty theft. They were criminals before they were organized by Mr. Vyas, who has been responsible for the building of this shed and for the looms over here. And they look upon him as their god, because he has finally given them an opportunity to earn a livelihood.
Okay, which do you prefer, your past profession or this one?
They prefer this.
Usme bahut pareshani tha pehle. Ek to aap milta nahi hai jo pehle ko tha, dagati chori mein milta tha, wo nahi milta. Aur dusra baat ye hai ki sarkar ka shasan bhi aur adhik badh gaya.
Samajh liye na?
The money that there used to be in theft isn't there today. There is nothing to steal anymore today. And besides, the government rules have become very strict, the police and etc. He says, now we are sitting at home without all those problems. We can earn an honest day's living over here.
I wonder whether carpet making will really bring them prosperity. They can make dharis, but they need capital to buy wool. They need transport to go to market, and they need extensive marketing and design help. Where to sell? For how much? Are they always going to remain dependent on the government handicrafts agencies? Once before, someone tried to reform the Paswans and teach them weaving. But there was no marketing and no supervision. And after 6 months, they just sat around, did nothing, got bored. The local police saw an opening. They demanded payoffs from the Paswans and forced them back to theft to pay off the police. Shivananda got this job after his father died. He felt the need to earn an honest living. He's put the loom in his wife's name to lessen the risk of further blackmail.
There's an awful lot of land around here. If you don't own it, who does own it?
Shivananda says its ancestors once owned land in Rayam, but the Brahmins got the police to arrest them on trumped-up charges. To get the charges dropped, the Paswans had to sell their land to the Brahmins. Outside the weaver's shed, all of Rayam has gathered. The village band's rehearsing for an upcoming wedding.
You're listening to Gao, Life in an Indian Village. This is Arts and Ideas on 89.7 FM, WGBH in Boston.
An Indian band is really a perfect microcosm of India itself. It's noisy, full of endless vitality. Each musician plays his own tune, no attempt to play with the others. Half a dozen different tunes all at the same time. Inside the village hall, official India and the Paswans come face to face. At one end of the room, behind a table, sit Mr. Vyas, the local development officer, and the district magistrate, Vivi Shavasta. The district magistrate's going to hand out 34 packets of money and 34 bundles of wool to the Paswans. Then they'll be on their own. Vyas talks to the Paswans gently about their new responsibilities. The district magistrate's a bit more official and gives them a lecture about morality and development. The district magistrate's wife stifles a yawn. She's dressed in a very expensive, heavy silk sari, beautifully made up, not not a hair out of place. You see elegance like hers in the five-star culture of Bombay and Delhi. Her two children are in silk and satin, little Lord and Lady Fauntleroys, come down from the manor to play with the village urchins. They romp over, under, around the seated Paswans. Nobody dares discipline them. Village children crowd the open windows, gawking wondrously at these children from another India. Rich and poor make eye contact. Instinctively, the rich children move towards the eager faces peering in through the barred windows. Then class and their mother reassert themselves. They fall back obediently and return to the proceedings. Vyas reads out the roll call. Each Paswan gets up and comes to the front to receive his packet of working capital, $40 in rumpled rupee notes, and his bundle of wool, enough to make one small carpet. One Paswan gets up to make a speech. The other Paswans don't like it. He's complaining that the villagers haven't received any financial compensation for the loss of their crops in the recent floods. The money was approved in Delhi. Somehow none of it seems to have reached Rayam. They can't sell their dairies in Madhubani until the wooden bridge over the river has been rebuilt. Mr. Vyas tells the man to be patient. Vyasji would also like to know why the money doesn't reach Madhubani and Rayam. New Delhi voted the money, Vyasji says. But funny things happen in Patna. As for the bridge, we filled the river bed with sandbags so you can drive your bullock carts and rickshaws into Madhubani. Repairing that bridge is my first priority as soon as the money is released. Bevishavasta finishes handing out the money and the wool and is finally ready to talk.
Just how important is this sort of scheme for the real economy here?
In fact, the people of this particular village used to enjoy a very bad reputation.
I have heard that, yes.
You have heard about that. We are trying to reform them, of course. This is just an experiment. We have started it this year. Let us see how far we succeed. But I have been telling these people also that it is they who can reform themselves, not we. If they want to be reformed, nobody can stop them. And if they do not want, then nobody can force them also. This is a harsh truth which they have also to accept, we have also to accept it. And for them, it becomes important because unless and until their agricultural income is supplemented, the poverty alleviation will just remain a slogan. Because agriculture as such, the land is not rubber which you can stretch ad infinitum.
Rush hour in Madhubani, a two-hour flow of bodies, machines, and animals. Squadrons of bicycles, the occasional scooter and car. Men and women shuffling to and from the countryside. Bullock carts rumble past. The driver's often fast asleep. Thank God the bullock knows the way home. Are there really that many bicycles in Madhubani? And the children. The street is the only playground they'll ever know. There aren't many tractors in Madhubani district. It's too poor. A heavy black car blasts exhaust fumes over man and animals. A flag flutters stiffly on the hood, probably a local government official returning to his bungalow and servants. I wonder what all those people walking behind think of him. I wonder how much he wants to be reminded of them. Kalijar, who cooks for us and is paid just $15 a week by the local administration, composed a bitter poem about those people.
You decide what I should do after a hard day's labor. When I return home, I find my wife unhappy. The sight of half-naked children reminds me of my pitiful income. And when I see fancy cars go past, I feel like committing sin. You tell me what I should do. The politicians decide our fate. They get double our wages, four times that in allowances. Their bellies are eight times as big. The government tells us to keep quiet. You tell me what I should do. Times are expensive, but the ministers are doing all right. They tell us to tighten our belts. They shed crocodile tears. And the poor in these parts are told to do what they're told. You tell me what I should do. My half-naked children shiver with cold in winter. If I mention this to my bosses, they make faces. But our demands will remain as firm as the Himalayas. Somehow, they must meet our demands. You tell me what I should do.
Somewhere in town, Gandhi's favorite bhajan, Sita Ram, is blaring out. Gandhi spent many years here in Bihar, trying to organize the untouchables. What would he think of Bihar if he were alive today?
Tuesday morning, 11 a.m. on the village road from Madhubani.
As you enter Jitvarpur, the high school's on your left. Immediately after it are fields. A farmer's trying to get two bullocks to plough the field. He's wearing the sacred thread of a Brahmin. Brahmins own land, but they wouldn't be caught dead tilling the soil. But that's exactly what this Brahmin, Sukhdev Chah, appears to be doing. Absentee landlords have meant low investment or no investment in the land, the main cause of Bihar's backwardness. Maybe Bihar's on the road to rural development after all.
Now, you're a Brahmin. I didn't think Brahmins did farming.
Oh, I'm not doing this. I'm not farming. Oh, the man, he is the one who's riding it. I'm not doing it.
I saw you leading your oxen.
Oh, because the oxen are running away and this guy was further off, so I had to hold them, otherwise I would have run away.
What do you grow on these 14 bighas?
Mostly dal.
Mostly dal. We are going to put in lentils called musri, and we will also put mustard.
तो 8 सास का मतलब हुआ 10 धूर में एक कट्ठा पड़ेगा जमीन। अब ये बुन लेता है 3 सिर के बुन लेता है
तो उतना
पैसा चाहिए,
वो नहीं है,
वो ताकत नहीं है, इसीलिए कुछ ऐसे वैसे करके इसमें कुछ बो देंगे।
आई एम ग्रोइंग दोज क्रॉप्स व्हिच डोंट रिक्वायर मच इन्वेस्टमेंट बिकॉज एट द मोमेंट आई डोंट हैव मच मनी, दैट्स व्हाई आई एम नॉट ग्रोइंग व्हीट because wheat crop investment is higher than the lentils and the mustard, so that's why I'm growing mustard and lentil this time.
Do you have irrigation water? I see you've got a tap there.
हाँ, सिंचाई का पानी वही भीची जहाँ गड़ाया था, वो तो अपना पूरा सब बेच लिया, तब इन्हीं हमारा भाई को हो गया।
This came with the land. There is a tube well, and if we can put a machine, we can pump out the water.
How many crops would you try to grow on this land every year? Just one, or would you try for 2 crops with that irrigation water?
पानी तो है इसमें, लेकिन सवाल है जो पैसा नहीं है।
If I have enough money,
सब कुछ है
for investment, I can grow between 3 to 4 crops a year.
3 फसल ले सकते हैं।
Well, would you consider replacing those buffalo that you've got there with a tractor, for example?
क्या?
Because you've got to find land for those to graze on, haven't you?
क्यों नहीं करेंगे
यदि भाई साहब? Well, if I have resources, I will certainly go for a tractor.
Now, this man who's working for you, is he a Brahmin too?
नहीं,
ये क्या है?
सुलकन है, छुटका लोग है.
छुटका लोग है?
हाँ.
He's a lower caste, he's not a Brahmin.
Do Brahmins ever plow the land, or they simply own it?
अब कहीं कहीं कोई कहीं कहीं सुनते हैं जो कोई ब्राह्मण चलाता है.
We work on the land, but we don't use the plow. That's the only thing we don't do on the land. All of the work we do.
Why don't you use the plow?
हम लोग खानदान से नहीं कोई चला रहा है, कहीं का ब्राह्मण नहीं चला रहा है.
See, the Brahmins are the descendants of the ancient sages who were Brahmins, and they were all involved in intellectual activity. So ever since, Brahmins are not supposed to work on the plow.
Oh! Hold
on. Sukhdev's farmhand walks up and down the field behind the two oxen. The wooden yoke chafes their necks. The farmhand calls them, sings to them. When they reach the end of the field, the two bullocks continue straight on. Sukhdev Jah rushes across the field to turn them back. In northern Bihar, if children don't go to school, they take the buffaloes to the fields to graze them. By mid-morning, many of the children are asleep, sprawled across the broad backs of their animals. But Munji, a little 8-year-old, dressed in a grubby cotton print dress, sits demure and wide awake on top of her buffalo. Munji is shy, so her brother Sanjay answers for her.
Do this all day?
Yep, Pawan.
What's your buffalo called?
A voice in the distance mischievously suggests Phulan Devi, the name of a well-known dacoit or bandit.
Do you get milk from it?
Oh, yes, it gives milk about 4 kilos in a day.
Why aren't you in school?
Purnima ka chutti hai. Today is a holiday for Purnima festival.
But you're normally in school?
Yes, he says so.
Across the road, two farmers are busy trying to finish ploughing their field before the midday break.
Is this your land?
This is not my land, this belongs to the postman.
Postmaster.
So you farm it for him?
Yes, I work for him.
How much money do you get paid for doing this?
Yes, I get wages in grain, and I get about 10 kilos a day for working.
And you get work all year round?
Yes, I work through the year.
So you make a good living?
और हुआ जो खेती हुआ और जो चीज हुआ सब काम ठीक करते हैं.
अच्छा, normally it's enough, but sometimes there are problems, sometimes there are difficult times, and then it's a difficult situation.
Have the floods made things bad?
से आते हैं मतलब गाड़ी पर चढ़ करके वो खाना देते हैं.
Well, yes, during the floods, obviously, there was a problem. There were no work, there were no food. Only sometime the government officials came, bring some food for us to eat, but it was a problem, quite a serious problem.
What do you do when you haven't got any food?
तब वो पास पढ़ते हैं और कहाँ जहाँ रोजगार लगते हैं तहाँ जा करके रोजगार करते हैं.
Well, when there's no work, we fast, we don't eat, and then we get work, and then we eat again.
How many children you got?
बच्चे हैं हम लोग के है दो दो लड़का तो एक बड़का लड़का गुजर गए.
हाँ.
तो अब हैं एक लड़का तीन लड़की.
अच्छा. I had five children. The older son died, so I have one son now living and three daughters.
Is your son going to a farm like you?
वो लड़का काम नहीं करते हैं.
क्या कर रहे हैं?
वो लड़का है मैट्रिक पास करके.
हाँ.
सो नौकरी उसको नहीं मिले हैं.
हाँ.
वो अपन टहलते हैं बोलते हैं.
My son has finished matric. He class 10 passed. He hasn't got a job, but he doesn't work in the field. He's just hanging around.
Did you like him to come and work in the fields with you?
वो लड़का हमार.
हाँ.
नहीं लड़का काम नहीं करते.
नहीं करता है. आपके कहने पर भी. It doesn't work even if I tell him.
क्या ये कटा हुआ?
अच्छा, I've got a patch of land near where I stay, and sometimes he works on it. But that's very little land.
Ramji Ram walks behind his bullocks up and down the half-acre field, singing about the exploits of two brothers, famous for their courage and their strength.
जी का घबरा गए बेटा उदे जी कहा तो चरले मैया दादा क्या कहा तो चरले मैया दादा
शुक्रिया
बेटा सुना है उदाला बाबुआ
There are about a dozen water pumps in the village. Indians have a great respect for water. For three quarters of the year, they try to hoard and conserve every drop. Then the monsoon rains come to threaten their crops, their homes, their lives. Shanta Devi needs more water for her cooking. Her husband sits nearby, one ear glued to the radio. A little girl hurries past, carrying her lunch on an old china plate. On it are 6 1-inch goldfish. A man suddenly shims up a palm tree trunk. He has a bucket and a machete, which he uses to hack away at the tree bark. This is the toddy collector.
Hey, what's your name?
Jivas Paswan.
What are you doing up there?
Jivas Paswan.
Yeah, I know you're Jivas Paswan. What are you doing up there?
Hajur lagavai chi.
Yes, I'm doing this, collecting the palm juice.
Is it good juice?
Ye ras hai, tari, baniya tari hota hai.
Yeah, it's a very good juice.
You drink it?
Yes, I drink.
What are you doing there? Why are you cutting the bark?
Because I'm cutting it because juice will come out from there.
How often does the juice come out?
It is already started.
I see drops of it coming. Can I drink some?
Yes, you can.
Well, what will it make me feel like?
It is sweet and it will feel nice.
What's the drink called?
Toddy.
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 Palm toddy.
Tari.
Toddy. Toddy.
Tari.
Tari. Finally, I get it right.
I've often seen him in the dawn, running up trees, hanging a new bucket on a nail, running down with some of the precious palm juice. He's cut so many wedges out of the tree trunk, it looks like some ornamental totem pole.
Oh my
रामा पुरुषोत्तमान हरे नारायण केशवा गोविंदा गरुड़ध्वजा हे गुण निधे दामोदरा माधवा हे कृष्ण कमलापते जदुपते सीतापते श्रीपते वैकुंठादि चराचरपते लक्ष्मीपते पाहि माम
It gets dark by 7 in November. In Surfdev Jha's compound, the family have gathered by the light of oil lamps to celebrate the awakening of Vishnu, one of the great trinity of Hindu gods. At the entrance to the room where they keep the idol, Surfdev's mother has drawn an alpana, a sacred drawing made with rice paste, to welcome the god as he wakes after a sleep of 6 months. A small piece of cloth is spread on the earth. On it are placed brass bowls filled with oil, water, marigold leaves and fruit, all placed on large palm leaves. Over this tableau, Harikan Jha, the family's priest, squats, a little bell in his hand, repeating the sacred prayers. In a tiny basket, Vishnu, in the form of a 6-inch clay figure, sleeps in a bed of raw silk.
Tvamutishtha, chadnidram jagatpate he, jagatpate he, malik, chadnidram, soye, sona chol jiji, nidram.
One of the way of calling the god is, in the Indian term, is Govind. So he says, Govind, you are supreme to the entire world.
Uthitam bhuvanatrayam chinu bhuvan.
When the Govind wakes up, all the three worlds, that is the earth, under the earth and above the earth, they all wake up with him.
Sanskrit mein hai jo tvaya cha uthiye mane tvaya tvaya cha uthiye
Gao, Life in an Indian Village, was written and produced by Julian Crandall-Hollick and Dean Capello. Recording assistants in India were Rana Behal, Raja Chatterjee and Himani Kapila. Khalija's poem was read by Sanjay Hazarika. Special thanks to V.G. Srinivasan, Vyasji, Bijay Tiwari, Gauri Misra and Devas and the people of Jodhpur. The theme music was from Raga Mishra Kamaj and was performed by Shiv Kumar Sharma, Santur, and Zakir Hussain, Tabla, courtesy of Chandradhara Records, West Germany. Living on the Edge is a production of IBA, Independent Broadcasting Associates, and is made possible with major grants from the Rockefeller and Ford Foundations and the Carnegie Corporation of New York, and with additional support from the Massachusetts Council on the Arts and Humanities. I'm Deepika Roy.
And I'm Margot Stage. I hope you'll join us again for Arts and Ideas next Sunday at 5 as our visit to Jodhpur continues.